Amen. OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And we're back here live on Monday, 2 p.m. Central Time. It is 2:09 to be exact, but we always play music in the beginning to get people ready and give them time to get on, because it's kind of tough to get on, and it takes a while for that to pick up a little bit so people can get moving here. And generally speaking, we usually get about 40 to 50 people on here on YouTube that are live, and then sermon audio will many times, you know, have around 20 people that'll be live on there, and then Rumble, and then the various different other groups, the other mainstream, or not mainstream, but internet streaming devices that are all out there, the software programs, all the different sites that are around. So anyway, we are here live with you, though, and we are looking at a lot of crazy stuff. Boy, there's stuff going on in the news everywhere. We see this, and I'm not going to talk about this today, really, but this shooting that took place in Nashville. The reports say that this young lady, 28 years old or something like that, shot up three children, three adults, and then was killed herself, it sounds like. There's a lot of interesting things about that, but we'll save that for another day. Sadly, it's sad that people die, that people are crazy and have devils and go into places. You have to have devils to go into places like that and to do those types of things. And we know that the devils do orchestrate those things. It's pretty common to see in our world today. If it's not done with a gun, it's done with a knife over in China. We see that over in China as well. So it happens nearly everywhere around the world. And when you have people that are possessed with devils and you have so much demonic activity that is spread across the world, you're going to have these things. So it is what's going to happen in our world today. And it's going to get worse in these end times. Things are going to get worse. If I could give you any advice, it would be homeschool. Homeschool your children. That's what I would tell you. Oh, you can by far defend your children greater than anybody else can. So I would suggest homeschooling your children. I don't even like Christian schools, I'll be honest with you. I really don't like them. Having went to one when I was a child for a few years, I can vouch for the fact of how ineffective they are in many ways. And the reason why they are is because they can't match what God can do and God's family and the design that God has for family. So what I would say to you is homeschool your children. That's what I would say. We have the opportunity and the ability in America to do that. So, you know, most of, there are Christian schools that teach decent education, and they teach good things.
At the Minnesota State Capitol, Minnesota House today passed what's known as the Trans Refuge Bill.
We'll get to that in a second. I don't know why that went off. I didn't even touch it. But anyway. Yeah, I don't know yet who it was that shot this girl up or these children up. I'm not sure yet. But yeah. It's definitely demonic. So this is the world that we live in today. And if you in America, especially, you can homeschool your children, you better. Especially Christians. You know, you have a responsibility not to trust the school system. And under no circumstances do you trust the state. You just don't. Why would you? You know? Why trust the state? They're not trustworthy. The state has its own religion. And the state wants to teach your children their religion. And what you're going to see here today when we talk about gender dysphoria and we talk about the trans movement, It's indoctrination. And the science behind it, the science shows that these, that the transgender movement is not an honest movement. They're not honest about the results of, or the homosexuality or anything else, any of these sexual sins. The science doesn't back up what they're saying. So clearly it doesn't back it up. There are a lot of factors into these things, and we're not going to get into all of them, but what we're going to do is we're going to look at this, you know, why these children and why people have that gender dysphoria and, you know, that confusion. And we're going to talk about, you know, basically children can be confused anyway. We started talking about that last week, and then I just totally swerved it into a Bible lesson and really picked on the Christians. So if you haven't listened to that yet, you should go listen to that. Now, 19 days away from our trip to Europe. Excuse me. Our evangelism trip to Europe. 19 days away now. Okay? So something like that. So you pray for us that God would bless. Number one, please pray that Brother Andrew would get his passport. Okay? Pray that he would get it. And he's got to call them like tomorrow. And try to get... Mondays are a horrible day to try to get a hold of them. But he's got to call them tomorrow. And try to get a hold of them and see if they can push it forward for him, because he's running out of time. But we believe the Lord will provide. So we're trusting the Lord for it. So pray about that. And thank you for all that have given for the trip and for the finances of it. And we just have a little bit more really to go. There'll be a little bit of backside money for like probably the other part of the Airbnbs and things like that, and a few miscellaneous things. So we're about there, probably maybe $1,000 or so, something like that. Off, and that's about it. I mean, we're pretty much right there. So that's my estimate in figuring and all that kind of stuff. I could be wrong, but I think that's pretty close. So praise the Lord. And we are thanking God for his provision. We're thanking God for his grace and for him touching your hearts to give. Number one, we got to pray Andrew's passport here. Okay. Then I want you to pray about something else for the future. OPBC, our church, Old Pass Baptist Church, we're going to need a meeting place sometime in the future. Our lease is up in September. And we really don't want to re-sign it if we don't have to. We need a meeting place with plenty of room for 45 to 50 children, not counting adults. So we need more space, and we have a unique model where we stay together on Sundays and we fellowship one with another. We pray together. We do all those things, and we're running out of room. We don't have any money to build one. Minnesota is not like other places. Where we're at, Minnesota, is very expensive. But we know that God can provide it, that God can give it to us. And that's what we're asking God to do, is to give it to us. Give us the right deal. The right situation that would work for our church model, and where children could kind of run around outside on some property, and, you know, would be able to have that and be able to, you know, continue doing what the Lord has called us to do. So anyway, you pray about that. You pray that God would give us wisdom and guidance, and he would provide. Because that's what we need. How many are in your congregation? Okay, well, we have 47 to 48 children, I think, is what we counted. And then there's, I would say, 10 families, or 10 units, maybe. I would say close to 75, 80. That's my guess. Probably close to 80. Big families, though. Maybe there's more than that. I don't know. I don't count. I don't keep attendance records, and I don't count. You know, so I don't know for sure. Praise the Lord. Andrew's on hold with the passport office for 1 hour. He just got through. Well, good. Amen. We'll keep praying. All right. Anyway, so now, so you pray for us that God would provide. I think that's probably what it is, somewhere around there. Yes, we are growing. God has really grown the church, and we're growing by children. So in the future, you know, in the future, that's I appreciate that, Elijah. I really do. Well, praise the Lord for that. So anyway, I'd love to have an old, a big steel building. Big old open steel building. I'd love to have one of those. But we'll take what God. Now, remember, we're not a 501c3, so we got some hoops to go through. Because we got to be really creative, because we're not a nonprofit organization or any of those other things. So we'll have things that we have to do to be legally creative. Amen. So anyway, and we'll see that. God'll do that. Look, I know, this is what I know. All right. I'm gonna tell you this by faith. Because it's been what God has always done. God has always provided for this church and for what our needs are. It's like this trip. God has always provided when he has given wisdom and guidance and direction. He has always provided for whatever we have needed. And for me as a pastor, God has always kept me and protected me through many trials, through many betrayals, through many heartache, through much pain and suffering. Through much humiliation and through many, many trials, the Lord has kept me through it all. And I know that he'll continue to do that until I go home, till he takes me home. So, and I don't know how that's going to happen, but, and how God's going to do it, but I know he will. And it'll be exciting to see what God does with that. We'll just keep praying about it, amen, and see what God does in the future. But it's going to be exciting to see. That's what we'll wait on the Lord. Well, that's good to hear, Brother Carl. I'm glad. Glad to hear that the Lord used that to be a blessing to you. That's what I hope and pray that it is. You know, that's right, Jody. Many dangers, toils, and snares. Amen. That's right. Andrea, God's brought you and your husband through many things as well and taking care of you. So God is no respecter of persons. He'll take care of all of his children. He's a good father to all of his children. And we'll have a meeting house where God wants us to be. And if it's to stay where we're at and renew the lease for a year, we'll just have to do what we have to do. But I'm not so sure that's what it is, but we'll see what God does. See what the Lord has in store for us. God is faithful, though. I'm excited about this trip, though. I'm starting, my children ask me, Dad, are you excited? Because they know I don't really, ever since I had anxiety and depression and things like that, my brain doesn't go on excite mode. It usually goes on anxiety mode. So, but they ask me, Dad, are you excited about this? And yeah, and my daughter's like, you don't really ever get excited about a lot of things. Well, I get passionate about things, but I don't really get too excited about them anymore like I used to years ago. But I am excited. I am. And I'll be a lot more excited when Andrew gets his passport. Nevertheless, we believe by faith, and we've done all of this by the grace of God by faith. Amen. So we'll keep going. Carl, this is called a rowdy. This is called a rowdy energy drink made with green tea, erythritol, allulose. Not made with any other stevia, right? So, all right. Well, let's get to it here. We're going to talk about some things here. And we've got our 40 on here. And we're getting more here all over the place. Yes, and not with sand made from the beaches of Croatia, which Carl Winters calls coffee. Right? Carl calls that stuff coffee. Carl Espinoza Ortega Rodriguez calls that coffee. And I'm like, where do you get that? Did you guys just go out to the beach and take a shovel and just kind of scoop it up and throw it in a pot and drink it? No, I'm not drinking your coffee. If you try to make me drink that coffee there, I'm going to cut your hair. That's what I'm going to do. If you try to get me to drink your sand, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to drop you off the top rope, man. It's going to be sidewalk slam city right there in your house. It's going to be choke slam on Carl right through the latte ground. Boom! I'm going to side suplex Carl. Right there. It's going to be pandemonium in Carl's living room. Boom! And Andrew's going to be like, get this on video. I can't believe it. They're going to be like, Pastor went Nazi, sidewalk slam Carl. And then pick him up and powerbomb him. Ah! I'm not drinking your coffee. Then when I'm not looking, Mary will hit me in the back of the head with a chair. Meanwhile, Andrew's got it all on tape. Andrew's recording it all. Oh, look at this. Streaming it live. We're charging pay-per-view. Oh, that's funny. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Maybe I'm kidding. Oh, that's funny, man. Oh, anyway, all right. I better get going. Look, I just lost five people. I made five people mad. You got to drink iron brew, when in Scotland. What is that? Iron brew. Well, it's a Scottish favorite, it is. Huh. Let's see. It's a delicious sugary drink. It'll blow your bagpipes off. Whoa! I don't drink much sugar drinks. I usually drink like the erythritol stuff or the fake stuff. But when in Scotland, maybe I'll have to. Yes, I'm going to England to have tea and crumpets. All right. Oh, I'd love to have a pool bar in one of those. I'd love to have one of those like that, one of those steel buildings. You got to have plumbing for them and everything. You got to do it right. It's got to have commercial plumbing. With all the women, you got to have good plumbing. They always have to go to the bathroom, so you need good plumbing. All right. Here we go. Now we are going to, the Minnesota House just passed this bill.
States for gender-affirming care. At the Minnesota State Capitol, the Minnesota House today passed what's known as the Trans Refuge Bill. It would provide legal protection to those who come here from other states for gender-affirming care. Here's John Croman.
The situation for trans people in America is dire. People are scared. People.
What in the world is that thing? Right? What in the world is that thing? Somebody elected that thing. Can you believe it? Somebody elected that thing. Now, that thing came on there and told everybody. That trans people need to come to Minnesota. So translation, no pun intended. The government has decided in Minnesota that they want to attract trans people, children. They want to attract children. to Minnesota so they can cut their genitals off or their genitalia and they can mutilate them. That's what they want to do.
People need help.
Lee Finke, Minnesota's first transgender state lawmaker, picked up her microphone 8.5 hours into Thursday's session, and she'd be there another 5 hours.
You want to know what the result of gender-affirming care is? It's just me.
What are you? It's just me. I'm the result. It's just me. You mean a walking abomination to God? That's what you're talking about? Someone that's so absolutely confused.
It's Leash. It's the people who are here. It's trans people.
Her bill, House File 146, is designed to provide a legal shield against orders from other states seeking to interfere with people getting gender-affirming care here.
If another state issues a subpoena based on a law in that state that criminalizes seeking gender-affirming care, that we are not going to honor that subpoena.
Minnesota Democrats are making this stand the same week Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed a ban on gender-affirming care for minors, part of a national wave of states either invoking similar bans or considering them.
We should not be allowing a child to go through the transitioning process until their brain is fully developed, which is 25.
Right. So here's the thing, right? Here's the thing, okay? Children's brains are not developed. Let me ask you a question. 5-year-olds don't even know what they want to eat at McDonald's at times. They don't even know the differences in things, and you're going to take them and you're going to take their brains and you're going to use that. You're going to use that to your advantage. And you're going to mutilate these children. Well, let me tell you something. It's paganism. It is paganism. That's where it comes from. I want to show you something. This young lady, her name is Grace, and I don't know how to spell her last name. I want to see if I can find the... Hopefully I can find what she wrote here, unless she took it down, but it was really good. Here we go. Let's see. That one. Not that one. Here it is, right here. There are 4 types of female genitalia mutilation, okay? It is the mildest, and it was one of the practice among my people. Type 1 is the mildest and was one that was practiced among my people. Okay, for many years, the practice is dying and has died in the recent years. My parents decided that it would not be done to their daughters and had to argue, entreat, and to go as far as prohibiting visits to relatives who might make us undergo that. For the women in our community, being circumcised was an important part of life. One that had made you fit to be a woman of the tribe. We were not happy that we were going to miss this important ritual that a number of our peers were undergoing. What were we going to tell our peers and female relatives? We wondered, but had to endure the mortification. Our parents stood their ground and argued that we were too young to understand. FGM. They will not be responsible for doing it to us. We will have to decide for ourselves when we are adults whether FGM is something we want to undergo. For as adults, we could give informed consent that settled it for our childhood. And when we became adults, we knew that FGM was not desirable nor beneficial. We have never been tempted to have it, and we are grateful for parents who protected us. It is sad to hear that parents in the U.S. and elsewhere are letting their unguided young ones mutilate their sexual organs and change their genders. I pity those children who have their parents who happen to have lost moral perception and acquired a perverted sense of reality. Parents who are the enemies of their children's happiness and well-being. In Africa, female genital mutilation has been fought as a barbaric and grievous evil, only to have the same Westerners who fought FGM in Africa mutilate the genitals of their children and call it what? See what I mean? They're going to say you're the child abuser because you won't let your child let a doctor cut their genitals off. So here's an African lady that got saved by the grace of God. And grew up, and that is heathenism that teaches that. There are many different, there are four different ones she said, and I don't know what all of them teach, and it really doesn't matter. I'm not going to go into a deep study on, first of all, I don't want to look at any pictures. Okay? So I'm not going to go into a lot of deep looking around of that. It's not important. But what she's saying is that these heathen tribes taught this. Where does it come from? Heathenism. They're heathens. And now you have the U.S. full of more heathens than Africa. America is a heathen nation. The lawmakers of America have state-sponsored child abuse. State-sponsored genital mutilation. Get it? That's what that freak of nature was saying. That's what they're supporting.
Republicans argue Minnesota will be disrupting parental authority and putting children from other states in danger.
To permanently alter the reproductive organs of a young girl in the name of transgender ideology in the West, we call it gender-affirming care.
Children's Hospital does not perform gender-affirming surgery. Doctors there say it's extremely rare for anyone under 18 to get that type of surgery.
But if anybody tells you that youth are being forced to have surgery without parental consent, that is a literal lie.
You bunch of absolute demonic freaks. They got devils in them, is what they got in them. And what they want to do, what they want to promote, is the mutilation of children before they have the understanding. Look, the Bible says that children have no discretion. Why don't you think it's legal for a child to pick up a handgun and carry it around? Because they have no discernment. Why do you think we put labels on bottles of drugs that can kill a child? Why do you put safety locks on the Tylenol? Why do you put a child proof twist cap on a Tylenol bottle. So a child doesn't open it and eat it all and kill themselves. But you want to allow those same children to make decisions prompted by the state to cut their genitalia off and prompted by government indoctrination centers known as public school, where they talk your child into mutilating their genitals. Let's change the ad around. Let's change the article around. What if you just called transgender surgery child genital mutilation? What if you called this Minnesota House passes child mutilation, child genital mutilation bill? What if you just called it that? Children can now go to the state and have their genitals mutilated by a doctor. Why not call it what it is? Why not do what the Patriot Act did, right? They lie and they have the Patriot Act. There ain't nothing patriotic about the Patriot Act. So call it what it is. Minnesota House passes genital mutilation bill. Minnesota House passes legal child genital mutilation. Why not just call it that? It's what it is. Why don't you just call it that? You know what the trannies want to do? They want to shut you down when you start talking about that. Oh, we got to take your free speech away. We got to take your free speech away. We're allowed to mutilate the genitals of children, but you're not allowed to talk about it and say there's something wrong with us. They're a bunch of heathens. So you got a bunch of heathens up there that are up there telling people that, here's what the state is saying. Against the parents' consent, we want to mutilate your child's genitals. Okay? Why don't they just tell the truth and say what they really are going to do? We want to mutilate your child's genitals. That's what we're doing. Right? Just telling the truth. But we want to do it without a parent's consent. And if a parent doesn't consent to that, well, we just want to take their children away. We want to use the power of CPS to take your children away because you don't want to mutilate their genitals. Well, you used to call that child abuse when somebody mutilated a child's genitals. That's what you used to call that. Now the state's just being honest with you. We really want to mutilate your child's genitals. And we want to do it. We want to offer them for a sacrifice to our beast god, Lucifer. Yep. You really believe that? Yeah, I really believe it. I do. Does that make me crazy? Or does it make you crazy, the person that wants to cut the genitals off a child? Which one's crazy? Me, who has a problem with it and think they're a bunch of stupid witches? Or them?
Again, that debate started around midnight, a little after midnight, because they spent the first 8.5 hours of the session debating other bills that also included long filibusters from Republicans. This bill now is in the Senate, and it's going through the committee process there, and may be reaching the governor's desk, depending on what the Senate decides to do. Back to you.
Okay. So we have a state. Remember, I said it's gender dysphoria, state sponsored. Rachel Levine makes history. That's not a woman. That's a dude. And that's a super ugly dude, too. Super ugly, gross dude. So get this. Hey, are you ready for this? So the head of Health and Human Services. The head of Health and Human Services is a dude that thinks he's a woman. And they call that science. You get that? So the head of Health and Human Services is an overweight dude in a woman's dress. That's not weird at all, is it? Do you think it's funny that the Senate actually voted? Senate actually voted to confirm them? Right. Now, at least the Republicans are acting like they want to do something. The GOP pushes for the parental access to schools, lessons, and books. The House voted a parental bill of rights. The House votes to pass. We'll get to that in a second. Let me just say this. Children's brains are not even developed at that age to make decisions for themselves. They're not even developed. These children are not born that way. They're not born that way. For instance, you have homosexuality and everything else. They say, oh, these young children, they want this. Few aspects of human biology. This is from the Scientific American, by the way. Few aspects of human biology are as complex or politically fraught as sexual orientation. A clear genetic link would suggest that gay people are born this way as opposed to having made a lifestyle choice. Yet some fear that such a finding could be misused to cure homosexuality. And most research terms have shied away from tackling the topic. Now, a new study claims to dispel the notion that a single gene or hand of genes makes a person prone to same-sex behavior. So, in other words, along these lines, out of 500,000 people that were tested for this, there is no gay gene. Loving someone or lusting after someone is a choice. Sometimes children at a young age are influenced sexually, and because they're influenced sexually, because they're influenced by their circumstances around them, it changes them. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So in training them up, you're supposed to train them the biblical way. You're supposed to teach your sons and daughters the Bible. Like we talked about on Friday, you're supposed to teach them the gender roles. You're supposed to teach them the importance of gender. The analysis which examined the genomes of nearly 500,000 men and women found that although genetics are certainly involved in who people choose to have relations with, there are no specific genetic predictors. Yet some researchers question whether the analysis which looked at genes associated with sexual activity rather than attraction can draw any real conclusions about sexual orientation. The message should remain the same, that this is a complex behavior that genetics definitely plays a part in. Well, not really, because they have no proof of it. Other studies have linked sexual orientation with the environmental factors, such as hormone exposure before birth and having older brothers, whatever that means. But here's the point. Environmental factors of people, in that sense, societal factors are the number one reason why someone is either a sodomite or the transgender issues. Now, confusion goes through a child's mind. Different hormonal things they grow up with, things that happen, things in their mind, their chemistry of their body, all those things they start to think about. They have questions at puberty. They have questions when they're going through life. They have certain questions that can bring confusions. They're supposed to have parents there that answer those questions. That's what they're supposed to do. But unfortunately, a lot of parents don't do that, and they're actually the parents are so perverted that they're letting pop culture determine how their children work out, or how that happens, how their children end up, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual. It's their choice. No, it isn't. You're supposed to guide your children. You don't pervert your children and show them things that are against the scriptures. You don't do that. You teach them. In this new study, a team by Brendan Zeitch of the University of Queensland, Australia, mined several massive genome databanks, including that of 23andMe and UK Biobank. They asked more than 477,000 participants whether they had ever had intercourse with someone of the same sex and also questions about fantasies and other things. I'm not going to get into any specifics on that. The research found 5 single points in the genome that seemed to be common among people who had had at least one same-sex experience. 2 of these genetic markers sit close to genes linked to sex hormones and to smell, both factors that may play a role in attraction. But taken together, these 5 markers explain less than 1% of the differences in the activity among people in the study. In other words, it isn't genetic. There's grooming things that go on. There's societal things that go on. There's early exposure to things like we talked about in the scriptures. We talked about confusion. You're to teach your children definitively things so they're not confused. So they have a moral compass of right and wrong. And the moral compass should be the scriptures. The moral compass is the word of God. So for homosexuality, for any of those other things, it is the word of God. And besides transgenderism and all those other things, it's pretty plain. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there to. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Romans 1 talks about the same thing. It's that blueprint for the destruction of society. When you want to see society destroyed, you follow this blueprint who changed the truth of God into a lie. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. They are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. This is the science behind the insanity right here. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God didn't make them, or the fall of man didn't make them with a gay gene or a transgender gene. That's stupid. God says, this is how it happens. You want to know how it happens? God tells you right here how it happens. Right like this. Says here, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Even they're women, did leave. Even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. This is the fall of man. This is depravity. This is all depravity. We don't know what level, Barbara, they're giving up to. We don't know. Not every homosexual is given over to that completely. Some of them can be saved. Some of them can be brought back from destruction. Some of them have been saved. Some of them have been born again. It is not for us to know where they are and at what point they are. You know, we're just to preach the gospel. When God does this and this happens, then we'll know. They won't care. They won't want anything to do with it. Right? They won't want anything to do with it. You see, this is the fall of man. This is the ramifications of the fall of man right here. But men pick and choose their poison. Now, children that are either molested or children that are sexually active at a young age, it doesn't have to be molestation even. Children that are allowed to run around and not watched and they get into trouble. They get into things. They explore things. They do things because there's not the proper instruction, balance, and direction in their lives. So early on, these children have boyfriend-girlfriend relationships with other boys and girls in the neighborhood or at school or wherever the case may be. And children do those things. Because they're not watched. Because they're not watched. Their parents don't guard them. Right? They don't guide them. So then what happens to them? Early on, they're exposed to that activity that they're never supposed to be. So it perverts their judgment. It perverts their judgment of what love is. It perverts their judgment of what proper affection is. It perverts their judgment of even it can between heterosexuality and homosexuality. All of those things can be factors into that. That could confuse the mind as well. It's not the only reason. Man's mind as a whole is depraved and we'll have questions and things that we don't understand. So it's not always that. I'm just saying that you don't let your children run off with the opposite sex and you don't let them run off and not being guarded. So you guard against those things. You're wise about those things. because a lot of those things do affect children and their outcome. Children, what they're exposed to. Hey, when I was in junior high, there were people in the martial arts school that I was selling pornographic magazines to other junior high kids at like 13 years old. A guy at the martial arts school gave me a trash bag full of Playboy magazines. And I was 13. And I was selling those to kids at school. So what I'm saying is it'll pervert a child's judgment. Of course I should have burned them. I wasn't saved. I was a 13, 14-year-old boy that was exposed to movies and things I never should have seen. Maria, you don't understand how boys work. Boys' brains don't work like girls' brains. They just don't. Especially when sinful things are woke up to them, like pornography and things like that. Right, and I thank God that I wasn't around for the flicker rate of the internet. But now I want you to think about something. Now it's not just some dude giving a young guy porn magazines. Now it's the government teaching, orchestrating, ordaining pornography, ordaining genital mutilation. That's the difference. Now it's the government that is teaching it. In sex education and genital mutilation and all those other things. Now they are the main proponents. So you say, Pastor, why did you preach so hard against pornography? You want to see something? Let me show you something. Some of the number one sermons that I preached are on pornography that people have listened to. Pornography is mind control, rewiring your brain. The perils, pitfalls, and poison of pornography. How to deal with inordinate affections, lust, and porn and get the victory. Warring Against Porn, A Plan for Online Purity. Protections from Porn and Other Vices and Lusts of the Eyes. Because what early sexual contact and pornography and perversion, it warps the brain. It warps the brain. That's what it does. And it rewires the brain. Literally. So to keep it out of the hands of children and to keep perversion out of the hands of children, we have to be diligent. You don't hand a kid a smartphone and say, hey, have a good time. You might as well be handing a baby a loaded gun. Because they're going to destroy their lives. Your children shouldn't have internet supervised internet access. They should not have smartphone access without being watched. The quickest way to lose them to the world is indoctrinate them with pop culture, which includes pornography, which includes sexual lust, which includes perversion, which includes the public school. The public school is a government indoctrination center. And the religion that they teach is the religion of the beast. And they are going to teach acceptance of sexual perversion. That's what they're going to teach. They're going to teach acceptance of sin. That's what they're going to teach. So you could see the sermons here. Let's see. Filter, language, length. I don't know, it's not on there. I was looking for, oh. So you have C.S. Lewis, The Golden Dawn, Crowley, and Rome. That was the top sermon. Pornography is mind control. Rewiring your brain is the second one. It has surpassed the other C.S. Lewis ones. That's how much of an epidemic fornication is in America. The perils, pitfalls, and poison of pornography, warring against porn, all of these. How to deal with inordinate affections? As you can see. So, in other words, children are products many times of their environment. How you raise them matters. It isn't that they're genetically susceptible to transgenderism, to homosexuality. No. It's how you raise them. What they are susceptible to is the depravity of man. Their heart. The The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The transgender movement, they're recruiters. The LGBTQ movement, they're recruiters. They are recruiters. Sexual perversion in the young. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's why mom is supposed to be there. Mom is supposed to be the main influence in their life. Despite the associations, the authors say that the genetic similarity still cannot show whether a given individual is gay. It is the end of the gay gene, says Eric Villian, geneticist, at Children's National Health System in Washington, D.C., who was not involved in the study. There is no gay gene. There's, oh my goodness, you're exposed to things you shouldn't be, and your mind, because of the fall of man, will pick the poison. You were born one way, and that's a sinner. But you can be forgiven of your sin and cleansed of your unrighteousness by faith in Jesus Christ alone. But it's a taboo argument. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to say, honestly, that there is no such thing as a gay gene. There's no such thing as a transgender gene. I was born wanting to be a woman. Research on the cause. Here's another article. Research on the causes of human sexual orientation has been marshaled in support of predetermined as opposing theological viewpoints. Whilst acknowledging that there is still much that is not known, the peer-reviewed scientific literature clearly shows that a combination of genetic and environmental factors contribute to sexual orientation. Scientific research on the causes of human sexual orientation might reasonably be said to have elicited more controversy than it warrants. Claims to have been born gay gloss over the scientific complexities and evoke strong reactions for political, moral, and theological reasons, which easily obscure the scientific consensus on what it is and isn't known. See, what they overlook is the depravity of man. See, that's why they don't want homosexuality to be a sin. That's why they don't want transgenderism to be a sin. Because, see, if it is, then it's the depravity and the fall of man, and you need to repent like the drunkard does, like the fornicator does, like the child molester does, like the druggie does, like the thief does, like the murderer does, because it's sin. It's sin. See, if it's all sin, then it takes the power of God to save me from it. Are my genes corrupted? Yes. What's wrong with the human genome? It's fallen. That's what's wrong with it. Fallen. Our DNA is broken. That's what's wrong with it. The question should be asked, what's right with it? Not much. Not much. But what we find is a fallen nature. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Okay? So what does God call it? He calls it sin. He starts out with fornicators. Fornicators, an unmarried person, male or female, who has criminal conversation with the other sex. Also, a married man who has sexual commerce with an unmarried woman, a lewd person, an idolater. Okay? The fornication, the definition is the incontinence of lewdness. Of unmarried persons, male or female. Also, the criminal conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. Wow. Criminal conversation. Lady, man, did you know that as a married person, you can have a conversation that is considered criminal, an adulterous conversation? Now, that was by the law back then. They don't hold to that now because we're a wicked society. But in God's eyes, it's criminal. Right? Think about that. The incontinence or lewdness of unmarried persons, male or female, adultery, incest, idolatry, forsaking of the true God, all sexual sins, pornography. That word fornicatio, right? It comes from the word also pornea, which covers it all. The King James has it right. It uses the word fornication. Why? Because it covers it all. Covers pornography, covers adultery, covers incest, covers homosexuality, covers all lewd sexual behavior. That's why the King James has it right. The English has it right. What does he say here, though? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. Starts out first with it. Covers all sexual sin. Anything outside of the bounds of holy matrimony. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. To grow or make womanish. Having qualities of the female sex, soft or delicate to an unmanly degree, tender, womanish, voluptuous. Womanish, weak, resembling the practice of the qualities of the sex. As an effeminate piece or an effeminate life. Womanlike. Effeminate. To grow womanish or weak. To melt into weakness. Wait, so what you're saying... So, every man that's a sodomite that runs around and talks like a woman and acts feminine is effeminate. That's what they are. They're effeminate men. That can cover any of it, too, as well. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, which are sodomites. God tells you what it is. God tells you what the sin is. God doesn't call it transgenderism. He calls it this in Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Hell. And you know, I have to always mention this, which makes me very popular with everyone. But you Christian women out there that are wearing breeches and running around dressed like a man, that are girding your loins up like a man, have them to gird. But men are told to gird up their loins. That means they wear breeches. And breeches, they call them, right? You women that are not dressing modestly like a Christian lady ought to, you'll get mad at me and you might hate me, you might get angry with me, but that never stopped me from doing what God's called me to do. I realize there are people that won't come to this church because I believe ladies ought to dress like ladies. I don't have a dress code in the church, except you have to be covered. And you can't dress like a hussy. But if you come to church in leggings, you'll be promptly asked to leave. You're not going to come to our church in leggings. At least you won't come back a second time in leggings. That's not appropriate. That's complete. We're not Babylon. You should listen to this. Or watch it. Biblical modesty. Should Christian women wear pants? You should listen to that. You should take a look at that. Because the next time you get mad over this freak of nature right here, don't you do the same thing. Because just remember something. When he wants to look like a woman, he's not wearing pants. He's wearing a dress. Think about that, Christian lady. Think about that blood-bought saint. Think about that child of God. Think about that. Think about that Christian woman. Think about that. Let's see if I can find that other one. Remember this one? Huh. Well, in order for this dude to look like a woman, dude's wearing a dress. Why? Because he knows ladies wear dresses and skirts. Oh, that makes sense. Don't get mad. Don't get mad at this guy dressed like a woman if you're a lady and you want to dress like a man. And then don't you dare call this preacher a legalist. Oh, you're preaching legalism. Well, so are you, lady. So are you. Because you're preaching it too. If you don't like dude in a dress, then you must be a legalist too. So let's all high five together and we'll be legalists together, okay? We'll both be legalists then, won't we? Otherwise, fold your case on the tranny dude. But I'm consistent. I'm consistent. I preach that women ought not wear the garments that pertain to a man, and a man ought not put those garments on that pertain to a woman. I'm consistent, and praise God, I've held this standard for a long time before the rise of the tranny. That's right, Angie, it is hypocritical. But you think, you just remember that one thing. That'll make some of you women mad at me. You can shout or pout, I get paid the same. It don't matter to me. It's just the truth. And if you don't understand the issue, well, this is a plain example of the issue. But if you don't understand it, you can listen to this and learn. You can listen to the entire issue on biblical modesty. Right? I try to be consistent. I really do. And I think my position is more consistent because you know what will happen? Here's what will happen. Some of you older Christian women, some of you are going to have to grow your hair out if you're able to. Grow your hair longer. And wear some dresses and skirts in order for you to speak out against tranny boy here. But me, I'm just preaching how I always did. I'm preaching the same thing I always have. I haven't changed a bit when it comes to that. I'm still preaching the same thing. Making them all mad. Leveling them all out. It's true. I've been consistent, friend. Because that's the truth. You can't complain about that if you don't take a biblical stand. How can we? We can't accept that. I can't accept it on either side. So, if you don't understand it, I want to be nice to you, and I want you to listen to this entire modesty series. It'll take 1 hour, an hour and a half, 2.5 hours, 3.5 hours, 4 hours. Hey, 5 hours. It'll take you 5 hours. If you listen to that 5 hours of teaching, wow, done back in 2017. This one was 2014. This will make you put your clothes on here. It'll make sure you're covered when you go out. If you listen to this one, this is the oldest one I did on that, The Naked Truth, The Biblical Definition of Naked. This one, if you listen to this one, this will make you put your clothes on. If you're not wearing any, your body's not covered. Biblical modesty, the origin and language of clothing. Should Christian women wear pants? Biblical guide. By the way, this is what separates the boys from the girls. Pun intended. But it really does. Because a lot of pastors will have a standard at the church for workers. So they put on the uniform when they come to church, they measure it 2 inches below or 3 inches below their knee or right at their knee. But pastors, and then what they tried to teach me to do, a Baptist church planting ministry tried to teach me to do, will always blame your constitution. So, you know, if you have a lady that comes in and she's upset about wearing pants, not being able to wear pants to church and serve in the whatever she's serving in, just blame your constitution. Well, it's in our constitution. I'm sorry. That's just what we have to do. How about it's in my Bible, you big coward? You big sissy coward, politician, fundamental Baptist? How about it's in my Bible? Right? How about thus saith the Lord? She doesn't wear a head covering anymore. She used to wear one. She might wear one optionally now, but she doesn't do it for a scriptural reason now, is what I've been told. Betty asked that question. Well, I get donations. I get gifts, Elijah. That's what I get. So, how about you teach them what's right? How about you just have the discussion, and if angry women that chop off their hair, well, they don't have to, or they're not sick or anything like that. Right? If angry women get mad at you, well, let them get mad at you. I just don't want people to be fake. Like, I don't want them to run around and women only dress modest at church and then dress like a whore everywhere else, or dress in tight breeches and everything else and yoga pants when they're not at church. Right? I just want to be consistent. I want to be real. You have to ask yourself, is my position consistent? Scripturally, is it consistent? And this is where it always comes down to with me. I find that there are Christian women that don't want to give up their britches and don't want to give up their manly clothing. But they want to tell that transgender he's a freak. I'm like, well, isn't that a dishonest argument? Aren't you being hypocritical? What's wrong with dressing like a lady? If you're a lady. What's wrong with being feminine? What's wrong with being modest and shamefaced with sobriety and modest apparel? What's wrong with being the complete opposite of what the world is pushing? Why wouldn't you want to be the strictest, in that sense, woman that guides herself and guards herself from sexual impurity and from identifying with the world? Why wouldn't you want to be? And what you come to is sometimes those pants are an idol to those women. Because it makes them, because they have to be feminine. They have to be modest and feminine. They don't like it. They just don't like it. It becomes a real issue. Right? Becomes a real issue right away. Shouldn't be, though, should it? We should, as Christians, be consistent. So, if you want to understand that issue better, look into female modesty. Biblical modesty. Right? Because there is no gay gene. What there is a fallen nature. A sinful fallen nature. That's what there is. So in gender dysphoria and all these things, it's trained. Gender dysphoria, previously gender identity disorder, according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, are defined as a marked incongruence between their experienced or expressed gender and the one they were assigned with at birth. People who experience this turmoil cannot correlate to their gender expression when identifying themselves with the traditional rigid societal binary male or female roles, which may cause cultural stigmatization. This can further result in relationship difficulties with family, peers, friends, and lead to interpersonal conflicts, rejection from society, and all sorts of other things. But what really is it? It's trained in them. It's a mental disorder. From a fallen nature. For most children, this gender assignment corresponds to their gender identity in an innate sense of identifying oneself as a male or female. Some children might experience incongruity and grow into transgender adults. Such nonsense. What happens is the way that they're trained. Gender dysphoria, according to Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorder, is defined as a marked incongruence between their experienced or expressed gender. Children or adolescents who experience this turmoil cannot correlate to their gender expression without identifying themselves with traditional societal binary male or female roles. Really, does it? Most of it really doesn't matter. But according to the sexual health study published in 2017, there is a markedly high prevalence ranging from 0.5 to 1.3 for self reported transgender identity in children and adults. It was traditionally a rare or uncommon diagnosis. However, the numbers have increased. Why have they increased? Well, I'll tell you why they've increased. The reason much of it has increased is because it's been taught. It's been acceptable. Society is accepting it. Society is teaching it. Gender is not assigned to you at childhood. You were born either male or female. That's upon the authority of Scripture. What does God's word say? In the beginning, male and female is found seven times in the Scriptures. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep alive with thee. Shall be male, female. That's how society continues. Period. There's no other way. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them from the made them at the beginning made them male and female? And in Mark 10, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Seven times that number of perfection. God made them male and female. That's the scriptural answer. And anything else comes from a depraved, fallen mind that is sin. And if God calls it sin, then he can save you from your sins. He is well able to change your heart. See, what you love is a choice. If I love sin, that's a choice. When I get saved by the grace of God, I am able to love God. To love is a choice. So I choose to love my wife. I choose to love my children. Love is a choice. It's not an uncontrollable emotion that takes me like some romantic Frenchman or something. Or like some potion that I drank. Why do you think people could get married before seemingly not even hardly know each other and spend the next 40 years of their life together and die together? Because they chose to. We got married. We made a commitment. We're going to be married the rest of our lives. They chose to. Chose to love. That's what you and I, we choose to love one another. We choose to love each other. We choose to love. That's what we do. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? Choice. Loved, so he gave. But we are commanded as children of God to love the things God loves and to hate the things God hates. We're to love righteousness and we're to hate iniquity and sin. We're to love the Lord our God. And we are to love the things of God. We are commanded to not love the world. Love not. So what I'm saying is Christ can cure anyone of gender dysphoria. Look what he said. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You're commanded not to love the world. It's the same thing as when the Bible says, set your affections on things above. I set my affections. I choose to love God. Where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. I'm the seat of all. The heart is the seat of all emotions, affections, and love. And I set my I'm to set my affections as a child of God. So if you're lost and dead in sins, of course you can't do that. You have to ask God, you have to ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to change your heart and to make you a new creature so you can love the things that God loves and you hate the things that God hates. And then you have a revenge against that sin. Here it is. This is true repentance. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So what that means is that I have a revenge against all the disobedience that I used to have. 2 Corinthians 7:11. Or verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. I preached a message a long time ago. I wonder if I can find it. Let's see. Here it is. Back in the day. 2015. Revenge against sin. The fruit of real repentance. Now the question is, Carl, have you heard that sermon? Class, who here has heard that sermon? Good question, isn't it? Having a revenge against sin. Oh, man, you haven't heard that sermon yet? That's a good one. Cindy Nelson, longtime listener, blasts past Carl, blows him away. Joey McDonald has heard it. Cindy Nelson. Amen. Well, there you go. That was 2015, Revenge Against Sin, the Fruit of Real Repentance. And I go into that and I discuss that. I go through that, right? About real repentance. And then you have a revenge against sin. And when God, even after you're saved, when God chastens you hard for sin you accepted in your heart or that you did not reject completely, he whoops it out of you. And then it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Weeds out. Then you have a revenge against. It's like, you know what? I ain't getting close to that ever again. Grace, I'm staying as far away from that as I possibly can. It has a different effect than what you might think. Then has a different one. All right. Let's see.